Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, the statement here says, I should be dead. That was in a shallow grave buried in Romania. That's a statement that was made by Virginia Proden to speak about related to her book that deals with saving her assassin. Virginia Proden is an international human rights attorney. She's an allied attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom, and she's a sought-after speaker. She was exiled from Romania since 1988, and she currently resides in Dallas, Texas. She has written this book talking about her experiences and the way that she was treated in Romania for being a Christian and trying to help people to defend freedom, the freedom that they had or that they once had until Nicolae Ceaușescu came to power. And then he started his heavy hand of ruling there in Romania. The book is called, again, Saving My Assassin, and it's published by Tyndale. You can go out to their website at www.tyndale.com in order to find out more. Virginia, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Virginia, why don't you start to tell us the story of what happened in your life back in Romania, and then that'll help us to set the stage for talking about this critical point that it came to when an assassin was sent in order to take your life and the conversation that ensued there afterwards.
You ask a great question. Thank you for that. I was born in communist Romania, and as a little kid, I watched my parents being very obedient to the government outside of the home. But inside our home, many times I noticed that they express, even inside of the home whispering, they express their true feelings towards the government and the concern that the government is becoming more and more oppressive towards anyone and silencing anyone. And as a kid, I thought about the way they spoke outside of the home, the way they spoke inside, which was different. And I did not want to grow up and live this kind of life full of fear. So somehow I made a decision that it's not good, something is wrong. Also, we had a wonderful extended family, big family, and at the end of every summer, we will have like a family reunion. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed as a little kid, I noticed that a lot of my relatives and even neighbors will come and ask questions from my my relatives, attorneys. And to me, it looked like the attorney always have an answer. So I put those two things together. I don't want to live as a fearful. So the only way not to do that is maybe going to law school and be an attorney and have the answer. That's how my life started.
So then you got involved in going and studying and becoming an attorney and began to then defend people and even openly in court talking about, you know, how what the government was doing to these people wasn't right, right? It started to escalate that way.
Yes. Right after I accepted Christ, I didn't know that at that time that there were not Christian attorneys in Romania. So obviously they noticed that I am one. So members of our church, the church where I was baptized, and later on members of churches from all over Romania, not only Baptist, but Pentecostal, German churches, and all kind of denominations, came and asked me for help, to help. And the help was because some of them wanted to maintain the church, and the government will not allow them. And the way they will do is they will delay giving permission, and they will delay for years, even though it was against the law. And then when the church will become in disrepair, the government will say, well, we have to demolish your church. And there was no way to rebuild a church. When communist government demolish a church, the communist government or socialist government does not build churches. Or another kind of help was people will transport a Bible from one church to another for vacation Bible schools or others, and the government will confiscate those Bibles in during the transportation time, even though it was illegal in Romania to do that. We had laws to protect it, religious rights and religious expression, but the government will still persecute those people. And the reason was because nobody, no attorney will dare to use those laws. They were too afraid. And in fact, in the interrogation room, when the police took me, they told me that when I used those laws, I became a dissident and I fight against the government. Of course, I told them that I went to law school and nobody said those things, and I believe the reason why you are an attorney is to use the laws in the book. They were not happy.
Let me get you, this is a little bit of a backtrack, because we're right here at the point where you have are now yourself being noticed by the government that you're doing things that they don't like and so forth. So I want to pause right there for a second, and I realized that a lot of people in our listening audience may not be familiar with Nicolae Ceaușescu. I was a little bit. I had a friend whose name was Tibor. He came over here to the States, and I got talking with him a little bit about Ceaușescu and just how bad it was under his regime and so forth. I remember one story in particular where he said that the national television studio had been taken over by Ceaușescu, and all that was being broadcast basically was like Ceaușescu in his home playing instruments, or Ceaușescu playing with his children. And this friend of mine, Tibor, said, I can't take it any longer. And he went and he created or put together a satellite dish so that he could get American television. And but his mother was very afraid when he put it up that the authorities were going to find out and they would get in trouble. But explain to our people, the listening audience, just what was it like being under Ceaușescu's regime?
Well, you can imagine by the time I graduated from law school in Romania and I was licensed as an attorney, Ceaușescu already declared himself a god. He started to arrest Christians for having a Bible in their home or going to church. And he started to demolish churches because he wanted to create room to build his palace. Even when he will come to United States or other foreign countries, he will ask people in his environment, people that were taking care of him, to make sure that he is not in the room, especially in America, when American people start the event with prayers. And it happened one time that the man in charge did not announce, did not tell him, and brought him, and he had to hear just a little bit of prayer. He just left the place. He did not stay Ceaușescu, and the man, when they returned home, that was in charge for his schedule, was executed immediately because he didn't want. You can imagine what kind of man He was, and he was totally against God, and he was doing whatever he pleased to do. It was absolutely like every other dictator, but to me, it looked like he was the worst dictator because he was worse than Hitler because he killed his own people and he starved his own people. And he lied to foreign people, foreign government, as much as possible. And this is why when I expose him in court and in any area, he wanted to kill me. Because he was, he could not believe that a person in Romania, he tried to kill and he killed some of the people that work for Free Europe and Voice of America radio broadcast. So those people were outside of Romania. But in the same time, I have to say that it was God's hand who protected me.
Amen. So he wants to kill you. They decide then to send an assassin to your office. You had already been, before this point, you had been kidnapped before, beaten, tortured, under house arrest, a lot of persecution. But when all of that still didn't stop you from speaking out, they decided then to send an assassin to do away with you. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yes. And in fact, that was what he planned. He believed that that was the end of it.
When tell us about that day. You were working in your office, and a knock comes on the door, and explain what happens there on that particular day.
My secretary told me that it was, I believe, 5:00 something, you know, closing day, so closing hour, and she told me that there is a man outside that wants to talk with me, but she said it's late, I'm going to leave. And I opened the door, I let her leave, I heard her leaving the office, and I let the man come inside. My first impression was that he was huge. I mean, I am under 5 feet tall, and I believe he was 6'10". The only way to describe is like a huge football player. And he looked very disturbed, and he looked to me like a wounded lion. That's all I can say. And I remember thinking, he is a hurting man. I hope I can help him. I never expected what he had in mind.
And then what happened there? What did he say to you when he came through and into your office?
Well, when I approached, my intention was to go and sit on my chair and let him sit in one of the chairs in front of my desk. But before I reached everything, I moved everything, he ordered me to sit by the other chair where he wanted to sit. And it was very strange. I was thinking, he is my client in my office, and he is ordering me. So I thought, oh, I'm not going to fight with that. I'm going to just sit here. But the minute that I stood by him, because he was already in the chair, he pulled his coat, and he pulled his gun. And his gun was just in my face.
Oh, boy.
And he started to say, I'm here to kill you. And he explained to me who sent it and everything. It's a very unusual approach because, you know, under communists, you don't say those names of people and everything. But he was so sure that I'm going to be dead in a few seconds. He explained to me. He explained, we did everything to you. You didn't want to listen. That's the end of it. We have to kill you.
So
he was very, very determined.
So he has the gun out, pointed at your face, right at your head. He is telling you that he's been sent here by the government to kill you. Obviously, there's negative repercussions if he goes back without the job being done. So he's got personal reasons involved here, too. What do you then say to him?
First of all, I was afraid. I felt like that was the end of my day, my life. I remember in my ears hearing the voice of relatives, friends, that some of them begged with me, you know, please stop. Some of them, they said, we're going to find you dead one day and everything. I look in front of my desk. There was a picture of my kids, my girls, and I was thinking, what's going to happen to them? Mm. And you see in the movie that your life goes in front of you. That's exactly what happened. You see your dad and your life goes like a second in front of you.
Mm.
But the whole image, the whole fear was stopped when I heard the voice of God, and he told me, tell him the gospel.
Hmm. So
it was clear.
What did you start with? What did you say then? He says, "I'm going to pull the trigger. I'm going to kill you here any minute." Did you then say him that just start in the beginning and talk to him about sin and so forth?
Yes, when in Romania, because we never know how long we're going to have a Bible. If we had the Bible, we took the risk to have the Bible. So because we didn't know how long we're going to have, we learned Bible verses by heart, and we learned the plan of salvation for sure by heart.
Mm.
So it was very easy for me to explain. And what happened is, as I was telling him the plan of salvation, I noticed that this huge man was melting under God's power and his word. But somewhere in the middle of my mind, the thought came, when I finish this, I'm dead.
Yeah.
So I lost the thought. So I said few words. I paraphrased the Bible verses. I did not remember. The emotion was so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So what I noticed is that this man came to life under my words.
Hmm.
Came, you know, anger and powerful men and with evil thoughts and everything. So I got so scared that I said to myself, Virginia, you better go back to Bible verses. And just say Bible verses.
Yeah.
And I make the effort. And I said it. And it was so clear and so powerful that by myself, I'm going to be killing in next second.
Yes.
So I hide it under God's word. And I told him, I continued the Bible verses, and I continued the gospel, and he accepted Christ right there.
Oh, boy. What did he say something beforehand that, you know, any sort of indication that maybe he had some sort of influence in his life and that what you were saying to him was reminding him of that? Or was the gospel just you were watching a person being regenerated and converted right before your very eyes?
I don't know when I told him that we all are sinners, he nodded.
Hmm.
When I asked him if he wants to accept Christ because Christ can change his life, and he said yes. I asked him if he wants to repeat after me, and he said yes. And when I finished everything, what he told me was that the people that sent him are crazy, that he needs Christ, indeed, like I needed Christ at one point, and I need it every day. And he said, I'm going to come back to your church, as I have been all the time. I don't know if you noticed me, but I cannot come and talk with you. I will be the same spy, he said, for Securitate, but in my heart, in my actions, I am your brother.
Hmm.
And he left.
Hmm. Oh, boy. Wow. Did you ever see this man again?
Not in Romania. Mm. No.
Oh.
No. I had seen, yes. I had seen them years later. I will not tell the story because I believe the reader will need to read the book and the story, and they will be amazed what God can do it. And it's a great encouragement for us to pray for our enemies.
Mm, amen. Amen. In fact, I put, when I posted it out on my Facebook page, I put that it was a book for anyone who was afraid to share the gospel. If you've ever had any sort of fear of sharing the gospel with someone, you'll be able to read this case of sharing the gospel, and it'll put to rest all of your other fears about just being ill thought of or, you know, stumbling through the gospel or whatever that may stop you from sharing the gospel. This will put all of those things to rest. Let me remind the listening audience, we're speaking with Virginia Proden. She is the author of the book that we're talking about called Saving My Assassin, Saving My Assassin, and you can get it out there at Tyndale.com, www.tyndale.com. Virginia, I got to ask you a couple of other questions, because as you know, now as an alliance lawyer who is helping to speak out and defend people related to religious liberty issues here in the United States. And you see what is taking place in the states. You see, a lot of more oppressive actions being taken by this government. You see the American people flirting with socialism here just recently, of course, with Bernie Sanders very openly and so forth. I wanted to get your thoughts. What do you think when you see this taking place, and what would be your message to the American people about socialism and communism and these types of things?
Well, first of all, socialism and communism are contrary to the American values and system. And we have to be aware that they take our freedom away. They take our properties, our rights, absolutely everything. And if we do not stand up for the American values, no matter how much we say, well, it will never happen in America, guess what? It will. It will, because that's what communists and socialists will do to a country. Mm. And I believe that we do not have to ask permission from the government to live out our faith. I know that when I came to America, the government in Romania took absolutely everything, material. I have to leave everything in Romania. Mm. But they were not able to take Christ out of my life.
Amen.
And there is no government that can do that. And we have to leave our faith, support the consequences of a hostile government that doesn't want to respect our rights, but continue to work with God, because He already provided us victory in Christ on the cross.
Amen.
We are walking. For people might look like we are losers, but we are victorious in any circumstances and in any conditions. And our enemies will be able to cross the line from enemies to our brothers and sisters by our actions, seeing that we trust God in hard circumstances, and seeing Christ and His love even towards them. Mm. Because we do not fight against them. We fight against the spirit of the evil one that is in them.
Mm.
And we have to stand up. And we have, it's more and more. We have government now that destroys Christian businesses because the owner wants to keep the faith. Or we have students. If you notice, just 2 days ago in California, a student was told during lunchtime not to share Bible verses with others.
Yes.
And they sent the sheriff to his home. I mean, is this America? How long do we wait until the government takes everything from us?
Mm.
We have to stand up. And it's our country, it's our possibility to stand up, and God is with us. He is in us, He's around us, He already planned the victory for us.
Amen. During his heyday, Nicolae Ceaușescu thought that he was God, like you said, and he ran his life like he was and thought that he was safe and secure. But I believe it was on Christmas Day, on December 25th, 1989, that he was killed. He was eventually, there was an uprising, right? And they found him him and his wife trying to escape from the country. And they had a very brief trial where they recounted a lot of his atrocities, and then they were both executed. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. They were both executed. They had a trial, very, very fast trial, I believe. It was less than an hour or a few hours, just to make sure. But, yes, he was executed. And, yes, he believed that he was God. But he never had a possibility. He built his palace, and he never had the possibility to live in that palace.
Mm. So it reminds me.
I want to also to mention to our listeners that if they want to find out more about the book, mm-hmm. or if they want to find out more about me, they can go on www.virginiaprodanbooks.com.
Okay.
And they can find a lot of information there. I am very passionate about helping people, helping our country, and doing God's work so we can fight for what is right.
Amen.
Because it's our time.
Amen. Well, we thank you so much, Virginia, for writing this story. It's fascinating, and a story of your own life and what took place. We thank you so much also for the work that you're doing there with Alliance Defending Freedom. We've had some of their other lawyers on the broadcast very often, and enjoy and appreciate the work that they're doing across the country. We pray that God would use you mightily, use this this book mightily, and we pray that he would keep you safe and still out there speaking your story, because it's very, very encouraging to a number of people.
Thank you so much, Pastor Kevin.
You're welcome. Again, that was Virginia Proden. You know, she was telling that story about Nicolae Ceaușescu. I couldn't help but thinking about the verse there in the book of Numbers, where Moses speaks to the 2.5 tribes that don't want to enter into the promised land. He says to them, if you do this thing, you know, and you don't keep your word, he says, be sure thy sin will find thee out. You know, here Ceaușescu thought, you know, that he was a god unto himself, that he could do whatever he wanted to do, that he was answerable to no one. He didn't want to hear the name of God mentioned and so forth. But in the end, here they are trying to sneak out of Romania when the uprising came. I think they were in a tank, if I remember right, or some sort of a vehicle that they were discovered in. And then a very brief trial. And then suddenly they were executed, both him and his wife. And, you know, very quickly, he didn't have the final word. There was another word that came afterwards. And sometimes these dictators think that they are the final word, you know, like what was taking place in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Nero was executing Christians and doing all these horrific persecutions against Christians and so forth. And the book of the Revelation was written to say, you know what, this earthly king does not have the final word. There's a king above that king. There's a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he will have the final word. He will judge all men and bring them into accountability for what they have done. So there's one of the lessons that we see here. The second lesson that we see from Virginia's book is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as she said, she was saying different things, but she noticed when she spoke the word of God that it was the word of God that had the power to melt the heart of this man that had come to take her life. And that's the way it is, not just in a very graphic sense this way that we saw here, but this is the way it is for all of us in any situation. The power is in God's word itself. Understanding and applying the word of God is the key to joyous and victorious Christianity. That's not only true related to salvation, but it's related to sanctification in the Christian's life as well. The power is in God's word. That's why when we get together in the services, we hear the preaching of God's word, we sing God's word, we pray God's word. It's the word of God that is central in all this. It is the divinely ordained methodology for change in the life of the human being. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth
To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.